Actually, that made me feel so much better because I've been very tired and stressed out. But then I realized this is my company and I'm the boss. And I just want to tell you, this looks great, Zach. Zach, just let it go, man. Also, look at this little dog.
Test one, test two.
I'm bringing in a plant.
We're starting.
Oh, this is it. I don't have time to bring in a plant. Like a fern. Oh, hi, Zach. You've been sighing heavily, and I just have been talking about how I want a fern. But, hey, buddy, what's going on?
I don't know. I'm not getting the sleep I used to get.
Okay. Okay, Zach. Tell us why you're not getting the sleep you used to get.
I didn't want to bring it into the podcast. It's our first episode. I wanted to make a good impression. But I haven't been getting the sleep I'm used to, and we got a new roommate.
Who is it?
She's family, right? I think it's important that we take you support family whenever you can. But here's the deal:
she's freeloader,
a bit of a freeloader, doesn't pay rent. I mean, I wouldn't ask her to pay rent.
No,
I think that would be unfair.
You worked out this whole bit.
I think it's really bad. I think calling it a bit is a little derogatory.
I'm going to ruin your bit in 2 seconds.
My issue really is like this morning, she peed herself. She peed herself. She's been drinking.
She's been drinking.
And it's a bit of a, is it her fault? Are we enabling her? I mean, we're up with her feeding her, really like feeding her the bottle, right? And like that's not good for anybody, but.
Sucking down those bottles.
I mean, she really is. And this morning, I mean, it just came to.
He has a baby. He has a 1 month old baby. His wife had a baby. That's right.
As an accessory to baby.
So okay, because he's doing his bit, and I am sick of this. You and your wife had a baby.
We did have a baby.
They had a baby, and that's what Zach did with his summer vacation. He became a father. Tell us what you can about your sweet little baby, who I've met.
Can confirm.
She does exist. She's gorgeous. She has this cute little round face. It's like little Charlie Brown round face. Mm-hmm. She's so adorable. I am a grandmother.
You're a grandmother, and I'm so proud of your journey. But like for me, I mean, what was great about becoming a father was, I had the total sum of knowledge about World War II downloaded in my brain all at once.
You're like,
I suddenly like have opinions about the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah,
than innuendo opinions about the Battle of the Bulge. Right? I have
more than. Innuendo opinions about the Battle of the Bulge.
It's a classic.
I can
bit.
Say I have never heard a joke, a sexual joke about the Battle of the Bulge.
Well, you've not been around the right people, I think.
I guess you know what? I got them all. I got everything I need right now. I never want to hear this ever again. Thank you so much. Don't talk to me about Battle of the Bulge.
Thank you. Thank you, Fatherhood. Shout out, Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah. So like it all got downloaded into it was like the Matrix. You were like, I can do Civil War history. We should get started with the show. Welcome to the Dingus of the Week podcast. We are your co-hosts, or I guess I'm your co-host, Liz Lenz. And this is?
I'm Zachary Oren Smith.
That's Zachary Oren Smith, and this is a weekly comedy news podcast. We are going to talk about everything that is silly, awful, enraging, and ridiculous in politics and popular culture, and it is a spinoff of the cult classic. Wildly popular Dingus of the Week newsletter written by Liz Lenz.
Ghostwritten by?
Well, I will say, so... The Dingus of the Week, I've been doing it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It comes out on Fridays. Right. And it started because I was depressed in 2020 and I had lost my job. Well, I've been fired.
euphemistically lost my job.
Been
shoved out of town, run out of town.
I've told the story so many times that like my newsletter editor, every time I like bring it up in the newsletter, she's like, we get it. Like, cut it down. That is not how she talks, but she, in 2020, I worked for my local newspaper and, there was a big backlash campaign against my writing by the Republicans.
By me. It was actually.
It was just all
And I appreciate
Zach.
You bringing me on to do a project with me after all that.
It was Zach, but like he would put different mustaches.
That's right.
On,
it was a bigger, meaner mustache.
I was like, a white guy with facial hair. I can't tell them apart.
Truly.
And no, so it was a big Republican backlash campaign. And that was going on. And then also at some point, there was a push to push an op-ed that was argued that unarmed black people deserved to be shot by the police. And I said, I don't think we should publish this because there's a lot of factual, you know, problems with it. And I turned the whole thing. I got fired for being insubordinate. And then I had to start a newsletter and I was very depressed. And I was like, well, I was raised by a corporate lawyer.
And so you incorporated. This is natural.
So I learned early on that even when things are bad, you can always make a sick joke.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, I'll just, you know, now that I can write for myself, I'm just going to make sick jokes. And I also, like, one of the things that I got in trouble for at the newspapers, they didn't like how I swore on Twitter. And so, like, instead of using swear words, I then started to use, like, words like dingus. And so, you know, to just be a real piece of shit. And
real,
so,
real dirt bag.
A real, yeah, real, I was real. Like, oh, you don't want me to call somebody a fucking loser? Okay, I'm just gonna call him a dingus. And I would like to point out that like the sports writers were swearing online all the time.
Whoa.
But apparently
you're gonna throw the sports desk under the desk.
They love it. They shout out to the sports guys. Also, who read the newsletter? And our fans. So
we love the sports desk. We love the supportive boys. We love the boys.
I love a local. I love a local sports reporter.
Truly.
A local sports reporter, he knows your kids. He knows your business. He knows everything that everybody cares about in this state. Because nobody, like, people might not care what the school board's doing. You know, they don't give a shit about city council, but they care if the Kennedy women's basketball team, junior varsity basketball team, beat Dubuque.
I mean, it matters that Dubuque got shown. They know what they did.
Can I say something real quick?
Please, what do you got?
It's my podcast. I can do
you. You literally have a microphone. Go off. Go off, queen.
Thank you so much. My daughter is a swimmer here in town, and she's on the varsity team. And one of their first meets was against Iowa City. And for people who don't know Cedar Rapids culture, there's a little bit of animosity between Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. Like, Iowa City is so close, but nobody from Iowa City comes here. And I mean, like, they kind of treat us like they're, like, embarrassing blue-collar cousin a little bit. And then, and to be fair, Cedar Rapids has, like, a big chip on its shoulder about Iowa City because, like, they're like, what are those educated liberal elites got that we don't got? I mean, that's me. I'm doing an impression of me saying that about Iowa City. And so when I saw, like, we were competing against Iowa City, and I knew people because as a writer, I served 6 years on the board of the City of Literature in Iowa City. I'm there all the time. I'm going to be there tonight. And but I was, like, watching my daughter beat other swimmers from Iowa City. And she beat the kids of people I know. And, like, I don't have – like, these are people I love. I love to hang out with them. But suddenly in that moment, watching her swim against them and then, like, win against them, I became a feral beast. I was like, destroy them, honey, you know, like, sweetie,
kill them.
You know, it was incredible. So I understand. I understand that feral drive that, you know, Ashley in Cedar Rapids has when it comes to watching her son beat Dubuque at a low-stakes basketball game. I get it.
You understand the feral drive. You understand what might what a person might feel when they want to make a mark on the world. Make a that someone who might want to take the elemental pieces of, say, a White House and make something truly important.
I see what you're doing here.
Liz, who's the dingus of the week?
Well, wow, I'm so glad you asked, Zach. So this week, the dingus is the White House renovations.
Tell me about those. The White House, that's like a pretty important building to be renovating, right?
So the White House renovations. So this week, the president, after saying like, "Oh, I'm going to do all these renovations, but don't, I'm on the East Wing, but don't worry, I'm barely going to touch it.
It's just the facade, right?"
I'll just do a light tap. A little light tap. And then the next thing we know, on Monday, there are shots of bulldozers just bulldozing down the East Wing of the White House. And everybody's like, what in the heck is happening? The White House is not a national landmark. It's part of the National Historic Trust. So, but it is like overseen by the National Park Service. Mm-hmm. But there's not like, you know, when you rent a house.
Like I do.
Like, you own a house. He bought a house this summer.
Joined the elites.
It's Iowa. So we are, our real estate is affordable, but there's nobody around.
This one's very nice,
scream.
Though. This one's very nice, though. My three-story mansion.
With a
dining hall, you know, with a dinner suite in the East Wing.
Your house is an adorable little house.
Gilded in gold.
Yeah, sure. I'll let the people
Some have called it Rococo-esque.
A Rococo-esque nightmare. Speaking of Rococo-esque nightmares, let's talk about this White House ballroom that the president is building. And so everybody's like, what? You can't do that. But it turns out there's no like contract. There's no rules. Because when, as a country, if you are just like, oh, this is just precedent and we're going to trust everybody to honor precedent, and then you elect a lunatic, and lunatic's like, you know what I'm going to do with your precedent? I'm going to poop on it. So, and I'm going to bulldoze it down, much like the Bill of Rights, much like the Constitution. He's just like, beep, beep, beep.
I think metaphorical violence isn't enough. I think you've got to do the real thing. I think a metaphor,
right.
going over your bulldozing over your rights does not hit the same way as the East Wing of the White House.
And the things about the East Wing is like that's where the First Lady's house is, or that's where her office is. And there's also like a bunker under there, which was built during like the Cold War, so like in case the Russians nuked us, and I guess that's still a fear that we have today. But
nuclear bombs? Who's she?
Who? Listen, we have
mutually
so
assured
much...
destruction. I've never met her.
Isn't you? Didn't you name your baby Mutually Assured Destruction?
Oh, it's
a beautiful.
It's
girl's
an acronym.
Name.
Yes.
But what people are realizing and what everybody's kind of learning is that there's no law against it. Was just all precedent. And so there's really nothing to stop him except like all these like historians and architects and the National Park Service and the National Historic Trust. They're all like sending letters being like, pretty please stop bulldozing it. But like, please. And he's just going to do what he wants. And then this whole plan is to build this huge 90,000 square foot ballroom. And the whole White House itself is 50,000 square feet. So this is like putting a BBL on an infant.
A very old and storied infant, but yes.
Yes. This is tacking Caesar's Palace onto the back of the Lincoln Memorial. You know what I mean? Like,
I might actually visit.
Actually, I think that's part of Project 2025 is to actually put Caesar's Palace on the back of the Lincoln Memorial.
What I like about it is that it's it feels so in Memphis, there's a giant glass pyramid, right? That was once, it once had some other purpose, but it got taken over by the Bass Pro Shop. And like when you talk about the Memphis skyline, right? Like when you think about like what is like really cool and beautiful about it. I mean, I think like similarly, the most important focal point is this pyramid. And then to know with all of your heart, mind, and soul that it's a the Bass Pro Shop is the skyline of that town. It's a little debilitating. Similarly, right? Like to know that like this kind of huge showstopper of a ballroom is getting is going to hang over the White House.
Showstopper of a ballroom is such a bananas way of describing what is essentially going to be the Mohegan Sun. Like, deep respect to the Mohegan Sun, which I once spent 4 days in 2019 at the last Miss America pageant. But like, it also made me go insane. That carpet and was insane. And I wrote about it for Jezebel. The last thing I did before the world shut down. It was December of 2019. I went to the Miss America pageant at the Mohegan Sun, and it's an insane place. It's like earth, wind, fire, but teal, but gold. And I think whoever designed that should be hired, or is probably already hired, to decorate the ballroom, because like Trump has shown these pictures of the ballroom. It's just like gold and chairs and tables. It's like, how many countries are we inviting over for parties? But of course, you know, he says he could do this like without congressional approval because it's being funded privately.
That's right.
So much like the Bass Pro Shop, which like I'm surprised is not also sponsoring this. And now we're giving them ideas. They're like, what if we raise the West Wing and make it a strip mall? Like, what if we make it
what
look
if the Ann
like
Taylor? What if we put the Ann Taylor in the West Wing? Have we thought about it?
An Ann Taylor, a Spencer's Gift.
I would love to go. I went to the Spencer's Gift in the White House, and all I got was a stupid t-shirt.
Oh, Auntie Ann's. Pretzels. Now we're just giving them ideas. So he's got private donors, and it is Lockheed Martin. It is
Palantir.
Google. It is the CEO of Blackstone, who's like, who, by the way, the CEO of Blackstone, this is my favorite.
Blackstone or BlackRock?
Blackstone, the private equity.
Okay.
Firm. So it's Steven Schwarzman. Hmm. And he is What a guy. First of all, private
equity. Is it
not
BlackRock?
No.
I thought it was BlackRock.
No, it's Blackstone.
Okay.
All right. If I'm wrong, we're cutting this.
Well, we could do a quick fact check, couldn't we?
Okay.
This is a really well-researched and heavily
I am telling you, I got fact-checked on it when I was writing because I called him Stephen Blackstone, but he's Stephen Schwarzman. And because I wrote it so fast.
I want this to be right.
Hold on.
This could be very big for me.
Blackstone private equity.
This is bullshit.
You're wrong.
I'm in hell.
You're wrong. Also, like, I spent 2 days researching and writing this.
We've been over this. I don't trust women.
that's right. Like, you know what the thing here? You know what really grinds my gears?
Tell me what is it?
This happens all the time. As like as a woman, I go out. I see people, I'll meet them, they'll be like, what do you do for your job?
As a woman.
And I'm like,
not you, but like, as a woman, what do you do for your job?
Yes, but like, your woman job. You know, you have like a job. Yeah. But what's your women job? Being a bitch.
Which I excel at.
I'm so good at it. Like, it's kind of like a spiritual gift for me, like gifting.
Truly, it's a calling.
It's a calling. And when you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And that, for me, is being a giant cunt. Can we say cunt on this podcast?
Can we say cunt on Patreon? We'll see.
You
we'll
can't
find out.
Say it. No. Laws. Prison sentences. No, but like, people will say, you're a journalist. And you probably get this too, but like, then they'll say, as a woman, you also.
As a woman, you probably get this.
But they'll be like, oh, well, here's my opinions on how you do journalism.
Oh, I love that.
And my first response, and I got to do it on Tuesday because this guy. was like, oh, you know how, here's how I think you should do journalism. And I listened to him and I go, you know, when you tell people you work in HVAC, do they say, and here's how I think you should install air conditionings? And he was like, whoa. And I was like, exactly. Like, I once dated a doctor. Actually, I've dated multiple doctors. But, like, it's always like, they're always like, well, here's what you should write about. And I'm like, do people tell you, here's what you should do when you, like, go into surgery? Go, like, get off my ass. Like, don't sit there and tell me how to do my job.
Doctors actually do get that a lot.
No,
I think they do get a lot of WebMD.
They get the, like, check out this weird growth that I have. Guys, I don't have a weird growth. Don't put it on the internet that I have a weird growth.
You've got lots of weird growths. I would want to be representative. I want them to understand.
No.
It's the BBL. It's the lip filler.
If I had money.
If you had money, Liz,
I would.
Where would you go for your BBL?
I would east wing my face. I would like.
Full reconstruction.
I would take a bulldozer. I love when people are like, oh, she's aging so gracefully. That is a way of saying she looks like shit. I was raised by a Southern woman. Yeah. I've got, like, you know, I have no compunctions, but I have no money, so I just have to look like this.
You're from Texas, though.
Yes.
A Southern woman?
But that's not where my parents are from.
Oh, thank God. Cool. Yeah. To be clear, Texas is not. I was having this argument earlier. Texas is not in the South.
Texas doesn't want to be in the South. And Texas
and
is
not allowed
in the
to come.
South. And, okay, so Zach, tell people where you're from.
I'm from Mississippi. It's a center of the moral universe. Thank you.
Yes. And I had the pleasure of meeting your parents this summer when I helped host a baby shower.
And they love Liz.
Oh.
They love Liz.
I love your parents. But they are like, your dad talks like, do an impression of your dad.
I will not do an impression of my dad.
Do it. He sounds like Foghorn.
Sorry, Mr.
I
love you, son. How's that for an impression? How's that? Is that really good? I care about my son's career.
His parents are Southern. Like, they are... And his mom has hair. Like, she
Kathy
is,
Smith hair. It's
Kathy
incredible.
Smith has beautiful hair. And this is like, and I was raised with a woman who also has hair. Mm-hmm. And you know Southern women because their hair is done.
When she slips into a Southern accent.
Oh, they look so good. And you can just tell. You can tell from a mile away. Mm-hmm. That woman is Southern hair. And when we moved from Texas to South Dakota, I remember my mom coming back from the grocery store one day. It looked furious. She's like, these Midwestern women, they go to the grocery store in their pajamas. They don't know how to dress. And you know, because she was like,
couldn't go to Rush
full
like that.
Face, fingernails. And now here I am doing a podcast in the sweatshirt that I slept in.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Ellen is ashamed of me right now. My mom is watching this and she is like, I raised her better. She's zooming in. She's looking at my fingernails. She's like, those cuticles are not moisturized.
I was going to talk about your cuticles.
Unbelievable.
Ellen actually got a live question here from Ellen in Texas.
Ellen in Texas. Oh my God! But
why bangs not? Is that blow dried? Sorry, no full blowout. Weird.
That's right.
What's up with that? Ellen from Texas wanted to know.
Ellen from Texas wants to know. Why don't you care about your appearance a little bit more? Great question.
She did add. P.S. Smile more. Weird. I missed that in the screening for these questions. Tell me.
Yes.
So, going back to the White House a little
That's
bit.
That's right. We got to get back to that.
I'm curious about, like, okay, Trump obviously wanted a ballroom.
Yes, he wanted a ballroom, and his you know. Excuse was like, there's nowhere to entertain in the White House. Now, I'm not going to give this man any credit for anything. However, it is a small house. Like, it is, it, you go to the White House, it's very underwhelming. And there is not a lot of room there, you know, and I think for like other, you know, compared to other countries, we don't have a palace, mm-hmm. you know, we don't have these big grand spaces. That's because, I mean,
the president's not a king.
That's, oh, that's right. The president is not supposed to be a king. And then literally like days after no king's protests, like he's like, what if I build a golden ballroom?
Will
you call me a king then? And then it's like, you know, if you think about American history, which honestly these days, who wants to, you know, you're like, historically, I don't think this works out for monarchs in America, you know. And then it's also like we're in a recession, basically. People like SNAP benefits are gonna end here next True. Week. Everybody's gearing up.
November,
I just did a big donation to my local food bank because their lines are gonna be out the door. Their federal workers are some are working without pay.
Yep.
And they're being forced to use the food banks too. Some are not being paid. So thousands of people are out of a job because our country can't get its shit together because the Democrats are like, hey, their tax credit on healthcare is expiring and people can't afford healthcare. I'm one of those people. I benefit from, I have to pay out of pocket for healthcare.
You buy through the marketplace?
I do. I have to. And then I need that tax credit. Like it's really expensive. And then it's just like that's why the government shut down because the Republicans are like, nope, we want that tax credit to expire. People are out of work. Everything is really expensive. I went to buy groceries the other day. I spent $250. It's just me and my two kids.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, and you know, and I'm not shopping for like golden yogurts at gold nugget yogurt. I'm going to Aldi.
Right. And I mean, this comes at a time, if you talk to these food banks already, anybody who works at these food banks, the number, or the lines that they've experienced, the like need that they've already, since the pandemic, I mean, we have seen year over year increases in demand for these services, places, they don't have the money that they need to fund the existing need.
No.
And then we're going to just like cut off benefits altogether, stop benefits altogether. Where do we expect people to show up? I report on Iowa politics.
And I was going to say,
Governor sent out a release yesterday, Governor Kim Reynolds, saying that we needed to reopen the government so that we can get SNAP benefits out, right? The same that the congressional delegation for our state is uniformly Republican. These are the same folks that voted to cut SNAP benefits over the summer.
They voted to our government, like a lot of red states, like cut food programs, like summer food programs for children.
Right. And they have the gall to say that you need to get back in there and make sure those bennies get out. Like,
and
grow up.
And all of this is happening and the president is building a golden ballroom. You know King Louis the 16th would be shaking his head from beyond the grave if he could find it.
It's giving let them eat cake. It's giving...
Okay. Here's my quibble. She never said that.
Okay.
She never said that. It was actually a rumor.
Marie Antoinette.
Never. I mean, she also did major renovations to a palace during a time when the French people were literally rioting and fighting over bread. So
I'm going to go on the record here. Aristocracy, boo.
Yeah. I'm not pro Marie Antoinette. I'm pro facts. I'm pro facts. High five.
For facts. For facts every time.
That was a terrible high five.
It's what you get.
You know what?
You get what you put in.
I know you have a baby, so you haven't been reading the news.
As we've discussed, I'm functionally illiterate, so I don't read the news anyway.
Yeah. So can I tell you about the news story that made me so excited?
Yeah. What is it?
Robbers. Thieves.
Assassins?
No.
Oh.
No, because nobody died. At 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday morning, 30 minutes after the Louvre, you've ever
church
heard
bells
of it?
Were ringing.
You've ever heard of the Louvre?
I met her. I think I knew her in college. Yeah.
The Louvre. Yeah. I hardly knew her. The most famous museum in the world.
Right.
Robbers climbed a ladder, like a furniture lift ladder, up to the second floor of the Louvre, broke the glass of a window, went into this gallery where all these jewels are stored.
The royal jewels.
Yes, royal jewels are stored. And they smashed some displays, pulled jewels out, and ran away. They got in and out in under 10 minutes. So in less time than it takes to listen to the full version of Taylor Swift's All Too Well,
these heroes
stole, and I'll tell you why they're heroes in a second, right. Stole jewels. And some of them were like Napoleonic era jewels. Napoleon. I don't like your work, sir.
More like a boner part.
No.
Go on, please.
No.
Save me from myself.
So they steal these jewels and then they got away. They went back out the window, down the furniture lift, and they rode away on scooters.
Sorry, like mopeds?
Yeah, like little like doot-doot-doot-doot-doot-doot. Little scooters, like Roman Holiday.
These are the heroes we needed.
Here's why I love this story. One, nobody died. Like, they went in. It didn't appear that they were armed. They yelled at the guards. I think guards were like, hey, you know, like, in pay, in French.
don't do that, en français.
Your wife is French.
May we?
You can speak French.
Attention! No. Pretty good.
Somewhere his in-laws are just humiliated every day.
Pierre.
I also got to meet your in-laws.
Sure did.
I love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not quite as...
They had baguettes tied to their backs.
They did. They're just little berets.
Crying about
your
Brexit
mother-in-law
still.
Smoking in the corner being like, you people make my ass twitch.
Right. It's the only bit of English she knows, actually. It's like...
Delightful. But yes, so the guards were just like, I mean, I assume they were like, we don't get paid enough to fight.
Well, they were probably like, actually, we were protesting outside. We saw a racket upstairs. We were actually trying to help out, but you guys left too quickly.
And so they like were shouting. The guards like were clearing people out. I guess they didn't want people to die, which is great. Good job, France. And then they just stole all the jewels and got out. But here's what I love about the heist is like, first of all, museums are filled with stolen artifacts. I mean, these jewels... What was the provenance of these jewels? You think Napoleon Bonaparte is like ethically sourcing his diamonds?
Oh no, the blood diamonds make it more valuable, you see. That's actually that's factored into the auction price.
Like, this man was like going out conquering Europe and not with their permission. It's not like he was like, knock knock. Hey, Poland,
come
in? Actually, Poland was like, come on in. Because Poland, and I can say this because these are my people. My maiden name is Baranowski. Uh-huh. My grandfather is the awful Boleslaw Baranowski.
As a writer that, you know, Liz's biggest audience is actually in Poland. No one talks
I am
about this.
100. I am, my genetic line is...
Poland's sweetheart,
is
Elizabeth
sausage
Lins.
Potato. Sausage
oh,
potato.
That's interesting.
I am like 100%. I am like... 50% sausage, 50% potato.
One pierogi.
Kielbasa. Irish potato. These are my people. But the Poles don't really have like a good, like they just, you know, they love to roll over and be conquered.
Mm.
Me too.
Hey, yo!
Also, which brings me to my next point. I've had my Instagram DMs open for 2 months now and nobody has asked me out in the DMs.
It's the audacity for me.
This is why there's a male loneliness problem.
Because the male loneliness problem is they are not contacting me.
They are.
Get in those DMs.
You deserve to be lonely. I think they're terrified.
I am terrified. This is like, This is like me trying to get like talk about production for this show.
Can I set up cameras at your house?
You mind if I come? Do you mind if I plug in a power cord?
Me and your mother-in-law are just in the corner. You people make my ass twitch.
On the heist.
Oh, the heist.
On the heist.
And it's all I want to talk about.
So what's interesting is like no one, I've seen no analysis taking stock of the rest of that room and what it looked like. And I have noticed that I haven't heard much about George W. Bush's portraits of American soldiers that he sent to die in his war.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? What I want to know is, did they place those paintings into the Louvre?
You're wondering if George Bush's paintings got into the Louvre?
Am I wondering if George W. Bush,
yes,
was one of the members of this heist crew?
Oh!
Took the jewels, inserted his own paintings of soldiers that he sent to die. I just want to make that very clear. It really bums me out. Under glass,
and
as a way to promote
his
work.
Do you think he slipped it in? It's like the next time.
Oh, Bush always slips it in. Come on. Hey, yo!
I hate that bit for us. No, I want to go back to the Louvre because these, like, it's just like, so museums are kind of full of thievery and they're just like state sanctioned thievery. And
shout
then,
out museum directors.
Also, no, you guys are doing good work, but you got to admit, like the provenance, like it's
well, they
called,
take provenance
it's called,
very seriously.
It's called
Liz.
Problematic provenance,
oh.
Which I love.
We love it. We love alliteration.
And we also love the, we love to cover up thievery in famous language. But the, you
but
know,
the Louvre's
like
been
a
pretty
lot
good
of,
on this, right?
The Louvre has been trying. Yeah. Like they have a list. You know, I think right. There's always, you know, internal struggles, but mm-hmm. they've been trying. But the but you know, these jewels get stolen. Nobody dies. I like that nobody has died. And I think like here we are, we're in 2025. Nobody wants to work anymore.
Yeah.
And here is somebody doing a great job. It, without cell phones, nary a cell phone in sight.
Love to see it.
It's
love to see it.
You know what? It's men getting to. I. You know what? These could be women, but it is people getting together.
But it's they may be women. They're certainly the boys.
Yes. If there are women, it's the boys.
Yeah.
They got together. It was like there were. It wasn't high tech.
Oh, yeah.
This is analog. They kept it analog. They got away on scooters. Mm-hmm. Like this could be Gregory Peck. And like Audrey Hepburn, I am romanticizing this hot heist. They are also in my mind. Everyone is hot.
Oh, I'm working on the screenplay for this robbery. Absolutely.
Actually, I'll say real quick though, the Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre in 1911, and this heist was also very famous, and people also romanticized it then. And there were like all these conspiracies. The Mona Lisa was missing for 2 years. And when it was found, it was because the man who stole it, it was this Italian man who worked as a glazer at the Louvre, and he had stolen the painting, and he'd hid it in a trunk for 2 years, like in Italy. And then he got caught when he finally was like, I guess I got to clear some stuff out of my house. I'm going to sell it. And then he was like, how can I sell this painting of the Mona Lisa by a little known artist called Leonardo da Vinci?
Tough.
And people were like, we can help you. Beep, boop, beep, boop. Police. And he gets caught. But he kind of becomes this hero because his excuse was, well, it's an Italian painting, so I was bringing it back to Italy. The painting was also like gifted to the French from Leonardo da Vinci, and so like, but he was just like, no, I'm a hero, and everybody, and like the Italians were like, that's our boy. But he
was the Luigi Mangione.
No, he
of
wasn't.
The early 20th
Actually,
century.
They wanted him to be the Luigi Mangione of the early 20th century, but he was just like a dud.
Oh.
Like everybody was like, they wanted him to be this big hero, but he was just like
he was
a man who wrote about this And if you want to read a little bit more about my thoughts on the heist, I wrote about it this week in the newsletter. But one of the authors who wrote about this 1911 heist called him like a pathetic loser, just like he was just like a dud. And so
Caroline Levitt energy.
Real Caroline Levitt energy. And I'm so worried that first of all, Queens. Boys, don't get caught. Don't get caught. My hope is, oh my God, I'm sorry. Should I kick her out of here?
No, I think this is good.
This is good. Just, we start with one dog.
Well, I don't even know if that read on the camera.
Great. I have a big, large wolf that just walked in.
You see this on camera?
No, I can't see.
That's great. No, I love that.
Oh, you can't see. She's like 127 pounds.
No, that's good.
She knows how to stay off camera. Oh, you can see her nose. Boop, boop, boop. Don't worry about the wolf in the room. But no, I'm obsessed with this heist. And I think the great thing about it is I think the internet's obsessed with this heist. Mm-hmm. And so everybody's like posting these like, get ready with me to go rob the Louvre videos. And I love every single one of them.
More heists.
You know what?
More heists.
Listen, and here's the thing. Like, I also think it hits people in this era because like we are all. Like, everything feels like a crime right now. Like, you know, everybody's struggling.
Right.
We are literally watching, you know, our rights get bulldozed. And here are these heroes doing the one crime that
we can all get behind, which is stealing the royal jewels.
Except I know there's just like some museum docents stealing the royal out there like shaking their fists at me, but I just...
No, stealing the royal... There are two crimes I can get behind. One, stealing the royal juice. Two, Jews. Stealing the royal juice.
And
one,
jewels.
Stealing the royal jewels. Two, yes. Stopping Batman.
No. Well, yeah, I hate Batman.
Gotta
Batman
stop
should
Batman.
Not exist. I also... stealing the Constitution. Nicolas Cage. Has anybody checked in on Nicolas Cage?
Has anybody? What is he up to?
Has anybody checked in on Pierce Brosnan?
I want to get the band back together. National Treasure 3.
Okay, Zach, cast the Louvre heist.
The Louvre heist.
Cast the Louvre heist.
Mark Ruffalo Buffalo is going to star.
We love
in,
Mark Ruffalo.
I'm obsessed.
Love him.
So the thing about Liz is she loves a cop procedural.
I love a cop procedural.
Is it a procedural? Me and my wife were talking about this. Is this a
procedural? The Task out right now with Mark Ruffalo. Watch it.
Buzz.
We are not sponsored, but Mark.
Thank you, HBO.
No, it is a police procedural. Because
procedurals, like, I always thought of procedurals as being like an ER,
No, you're watching
order.
The procedure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm making this up.
I always thought it was like.
Pull this out of my butt. Of course.
Either way.
But the Task is a police procedural.
So we love Mark Ruffalo.
And he's doing that thing that we all love.
I want Mark to be the guy.
A gruff alcoholic cop with a troubled past.
So here's how I would stage it. Mark Ruffalo plays the guy. So one of the details in this heist story is that they steal the what do you call it? The cherry picker, the
furniture lift
that they
in Iowa would be a cherry picker, but it's France.
Yeah,
so
sorry,
that's a furniture
they don't have
lift.
Cherries over there. So they stole that earlier, like the week prior or sometime before that. So Mark Ruffalo plays the guy who they stole it from. And the plot of it isn't actually from the perspective of the heist people. It's from Mark Ruffalo, who's following them, trying to stop them desperately.
No, Mark Ruffalo is the insurance investigator. He's like, if you saw the Thomas Crown Affair, he's Rene Rousseau.
Ugh, no.
He's like sitting at a desk. Like, you know, did you see the Thomas Crown Affair? Rene Rousseau is so sexy. And she's like, has this scene where she's like sitting at a desk. And she's like, hello, Pierce Brosnan, I'm the insurance investigator. I am getting that wrong, but it's like that's what I want.
That
I want
like a
Mark
insurance
Ruffalo
adjuster conversation.
I want Mark Ruffalo. I want him respectfully to his family. Respectfully. I want him a little slutty.
Yeah, we need a slutty insurance
adjuster. And he's investigating, and he's not going to win. What he's going to do is he's going to find the thieves, confront them, but they're going to get away again. So who are the thieves?
I want A, Nicolas Cage. I want B. Who's his father in National
Why
Treasure?
Why are you only casting white men?
Because I'm trying to get representation of my people. What are you saying?
It's so hard for white guys.
It's tough
days.
Out.
That's why we're starting so a podcast. So Zach doesn't have to be lonely.
Men yell at me media. It needed a man yelling at you.
It did need a man yelling at me. So you've cast Nicolas Cage and Mark Ruffalo. If you cast one more white man, I will personally cancel you.
Okay.
Cancel button.
Cancel. Okay.
We should get a cancel button.
That wouldn't be bad.
Keep casting this.
Other people that I would cast in this, Olivia Newton-John. Is she dead? Are you not an Olivia Newton-John fan? And ONJ.
Okay.
An ONJ fan.
Okay, who else?
Oh, Michael Beck. Another white dude. But Michael Beck, I haven't seen... He was so good in The Warriors. Xanadu? Who else?
I regret asking this question.
This is actually an only white male cast.
You get one more, and then we're ending this podcast because nobody's going to want to listen to it.
We need French. It happens in France. It should have at least one French actor.
Gérard Depardieu.
I was thinking Jacques Pepin, the French.
Mr. Bean. What?
What is that guy's name? What is that guy? He's the Blackadder, Mr. Bean. What is his name?
Wait, I want Mr. Bean in this.
Is actually in the Mr. Bean extended universe. Is like Mr. Bean tries to solve the Louvre heist.
It's like the Pink Panther with both versions. I've saw both versions, the old one and then the Steve Martin one. Steve Martin. I'm not going to do a French accent. That is a bridge too far, and I have nothing but respect for the French people.
Mm. I have only feuds and disrespect.
People say about Liz, she respects the French.
It's the only people she respects, actually. It's funny.
That's right. So you have, first of all, this cast does not pass the Bechdel test. It's never going to pass.
It will never pass the Bechdel test.
It's literally the most problematic movie. It's like only got white men in it and nobody is going to want to watch it. And
I think Hollywood's looking for a lot of like, well, also like we can cast like Trump. Trump can have a cameo in it. We'll get this off.
True.
This funding from Trump media.
Who's the, I'm 42, I can't remember actors' names, so I'm always like, who's the boy in the thing? No, who's the guy, who's the old cowboy who thinks he's a cowboy who's like making all those terrible movies?
John Wayne?
No, he's dead. The other guy. You know, he tried to make that big cowboy movie and it failed. And they wouldn't show it. He's like salivating over your idea right now.
What is his name? It's John Wayne 2.
People are.
Their Electric Boogaloo. what's his name?
People are, if they're listening, they're like screaming at us. I can see his face. Kevin Costner.
Oh, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner wants this.
That's not a good name.
Kevin Costner wants this. Like me, you know who I'm casting in this?
Who are you casting in this?
Zendaya, first of all.
Oh, all right. I'm in.
Yeah.
I really like her playing opposite.
And Olivia Colman is the investigator.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What is she?
Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman, actress.
Oh, she was just in.
Oh,
the Roses.
She's great. She was in. She was in that British sad show where she's very sad.
Broadchurch.
That's right.
That show will break your heart.
So good.
Oh my God.
No, she's great.
I love her. Yeah, right off the bat, Zendaya is the thief.
What about, I mean, if we're gonna have Zendaya in it, I gotta, like, what about Timothy Chalamet?
Well, he's got that French last name.
Timothy Chalamet.
Chalamet.
He's,
put him in. I want him in a little mustache.
I mean, I think that's just like his upper lip. He actually, like,
Yes.
He was really good in the Bob Dylan flick.
I haven't seen
it. It was
yet.
Really good. I liked
it. I want to see that Leonardo DiCaprio movie. I'm going to see it this weekend.
What
finally.
Is... There's another cowboy actor whose name mm-hmm. is escaping me. Not Sam Elliott. Clint Eastwood.
Oh,
is
Clint
the name
Eastwood.
That I'm trying to think of. My
yes,
God,
he's
sorry.
Also... Yeah, he also likes your movie.
But he's also... I mean, he's got that smolder. If I can get him...
Just... You are
let's not
really
say no to a good
this.
Time.
All right. Well, I love I love the heist. And if you see good heist memes out there, please send them to me because they are making me so happy. One of my favorite memes I saw that was like, if they can rob the Louvre in under 10 minutes, then he can plan a date. I love that. I also posted something on Threads that's gone lightly viral because people keep tagging me and on different platforms. But I said that the Louvre thieves accessed those treasures faster and easier than most women can access reproductive rights. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Liz.
Now that we have discussed the dingus, would you like to play a little game?
I would be honored. What's our game, Liz?
We are going to play a little game called Dingus Says What.
Dingus Says What?
So I, since and it's...
Is there a sting? Dingus Says What?
No, but we have our great Dingus of the Week theme song.
I'm excited. We can tease a little bit here.
Yes. It's so good.
For the full tune. See to the end of the episode.
We have been planning this podcast for a long time. And when we were putting it together, I was like, I want a theme song just because it sucks to buy music rights to kind of like tinny music you hate. It's like...
We worked on a podcast, This American Ex-Wife. Check it out. That had, I think, great music for it.
But it was a...
It was fun. It was exciting. And we paid through the nose for it.
We paid through the nose for it. And we had to, like, every time... We did two seasons of that podcast. It's really good. But every time we... Like, every season, we had to go... re-up and pay through the nose for it. We had to pay like what, over $1,000 every time.
Yeah.
And
the agent certainly was in my inbox on year three being like, hey, yo, you
yes.
can sign
and
up.
Then they were like, are you going to do a third season? And we were like, no. And it occurred to me, I was like, instead of paying that money to this like company,
right.
why don't we just ask a musician to make the music for us? And we had interviewed
Laura Benitez
yeah. for the podcast, and she is so great and I loved her music, and I was like, why don't we just have her? And she reads the newsletter, shout out,
yeah,
everybody should be her fan. If
Laura,
you like,
Benitez and the Heartbreakers,
if you like sad women with guitars,
and I do,
who doesn't, that you should like her music. Because then we reached out to her and I was like, could you just make us a song? And it was actually like so reasonable, incredible. It's a little goofy. I like it, but it's such a good song.
It's perfect. Stay to the end of the episode for that
yes.
full track.
But the Dingus Says What.
Dingus Says What?
Dingus Says What is a fun little game that we just invented for this podcast. And when I did a survey of the audience, I came up with little games, little segments, and everyone was like, we want you to play Dingus Says What.
So what is the idea of Dingus Says What?
Every week I will be picking something or someone in the news that is really ruining America, and we're gonna talk about it, we're gonna write about it. And then for Dingus Says What, I am going to have a list of quotes, three quotes about the dingus, or maybe from the dingus, and I'm going to read them to Zach, and he has to guess which one is made up.
How exciting.
How exciting. It's going to be so fun. And this is great because Zach is a little functionally illiterate. You don't read.
A little functionally illiterate. We all find the trade we're bound for. Podcasting being the perfect
That's right.
medium for your working, your neighborhood illiterate.
You know what? This kid got left behind.
Look, thanks, Bush. Shout out to George W. Bush, who I think he asked Congress for the last renovations of the White House. So that's
you know
fun.
He's sitting there painting his little pictures of his dogs being like, oh, not so easy to find a president who doesn't suck shit.
Yeah. George W. Bush, despite taking away my childhood to the Iraq War, shout out military children.
My brother's, well, your dad's in the military. Yeah. My brother is in the military, and he's 10 years younger than me, but he joined up because of 9/11 and the Iraq War. Yeah.
And
then
you,
to escape. Me and Ellen.
And then you losers on the left had the gall to forget.
Forget?
We said we'd never forget.
Forget what?
9/11.
Let's play Dingus Says What.
Dingus Says What?
Let's play what Dingus did, Says What. Okay.
What did the dingus say?
So I'm going to, because the White House can't talk. If it could, it would be like, ah.
What would, is that, yeah.
Ouch. I don't know.
This is terrible.
No, this is the best.
Yeah. What did the dingus say? What did the dingus say?
I think I'm so funny.
Okay,
so I'm going to read you three quotes from Republicans
okay.
about the White House renovation, and you have to guess which one is made up.
Okay.
All right, first one comes from the White House Press Secretary, Caroline Leavitt.
Love her hair.
Love her work. So this quote is from Caroline Leavitt. It's beautiful. Look at these designs. It's beautiful and you're ugly. Caroline Leavitt.
That's really good. That's really petty. Shout out to Caroline.
Did you see that news story this week where she, where a reporter from the Huffington Post like texted her a question? It was like, whose idea was it to do this foreign policy thing? And her response was, your mom.
I love her. No notes. Perfect. She's my, what a gift. What a gift to have her in public service.
You're just not even.
She's 27 years old.
She's only 27?
She's like 27 years old.
100%.
I wish
so
I had
better
that.
About my face. Sorry. I support. No, I hate that. Like, I support women. Like, no, I don't support
yeah, you
the evil
women.
Ones. I don't support the evil ones. Oh, and I right. think what we're, yeah. you know, I think what's really inspiring is that in 2025, we are realizing that women are just as evil as men. Way to break that glass ceiling, girl, Caroline.
And let everyone get cut along the way. It's really...
yeah, she's smashing that glass and then shiving everybody with it.
And making all of us eat the glass shards. It's really...
rubbing our noses
really
in
nice.
It. The next quote comes from Josh Hawley.
Okay.
Josh Hawley. So I'm going to do Josh Hawley voice. I made this point yesterday. That I hear all of a sudden from my liberal friends that they're very concerned about our history. Really? These are the same people who tore down every statue they could get their hands on in the last 4 years.
If by every statue we mean the ones who started the last insurrection, dog. Like, what are you saying? What?
Also,
I hope that one's
my right. liberal friends is giving, I have a black friend. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's giving, you don't.
Yeah.
Josh Hawley.
That one sounds sincere. That's got to be real. Sorry. All right,
the third one is from the president himself, Donald Trump. I can't do
yeah,
it.
Please, can we? Please?
No. I think we should actually make a rule for the podcast. No
Absolutely.
Trump impressions.
I mean, we're doing no bits.
No bits.
No bits. Mm-mm. Straight down the line.
Focus. You probably hear the beautiful sound of construction in the back. When I hear that sound, it reminds me of money. Donald Trump.
Honestly, really good storytelling. You probably start with the sound. You gotta appeal to the senses, right?
And imagine him being like. You hear that?
Yeah. Don't you hear the traitor coming?
Don't sing. Two rules on this podcast. Only I can sing. Okay, which one's made up?
Okay, Caroline, give me the Caroline one again, will you?
It's beautiful. Look at these designs. It's beautiful and you are ugly.
It's... That's the Caroline I want to be. I want to be in this world, so that's got to be true. I'm gonna will that into existence. I'm gonna say the Trump one's fake.
You're wrong. You are so wrong.
Hey, which one's the
Caroline?
I believed in you, Caroline.
Call
them ugly. Just call them ugly. Like
that's she has called people ugly before.
I love that.
Yeah, but no, she
We
did
love
not.
Our queen, Caroline.
That is made up.
She's my second favorite Caroline. Shout out Polachek.
Caroline who?
Polachek.
Who's that?
The musician.
I don't know who that is.
All right.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I've just been listening to a lot of Sabrina Carpenter these days. I have a 14-year-old daughter.
She's great.
I'm not allowed to choose the music in my own home. No, because my daughter will be like, what are you listening to?
Why are you...
She's also like, here's the problem with streaming services.
Okay.
Is
they're all owned by billionaires.
Yes. And then ICE is running ads on Spotify.
ISIS?
ICE is.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Who wants to sponsor this podcast?
If ISIS or ICE are have advertising dollars left over, like, fuck y'all, but like, also we're in.
No, no, don't listen to him. Like,
where are you going to appeal to the? Where are you going to? This is a rock steady audience. All I'm saying.
Thank you, everybody, for moving over to Patreon, for subscribing. We are keeping.
How did that go? That seemed like a big transition.
I got two things to wrap up. One, I need to tell the audience, thank you for following us. And also, we're dedicated to keeping this podcast free.
Without any support from ICE.
No, with no support from ICE. Maybe just the frozen kind in our little bevies. I can't believe I said bevies. I am going to throw myself into jail for that.
Yeah, we're out a window. It's fine. Either way. Yeah. Just eat. One or the other.
And now I said eat, so it's getting worse. But we want this podcast to exist without a paywall. I want it to be out there in the world. And so I want to have a good time with you all. But we do need support. It costs a lot of money to make. We have lights. We have cameras. I have to pay a co-host now. He's got a baby to feed.
Do you want to support Mutually Assured Destruction Smith or not? That's a callback.
That's his name. I've just been calling her Muddy for so long. Yes. Your sweet baby. He's got a sweet baby. And
come support my kid.
This is how I support my kids. And I've got to put a 14-year-old into college soon.
Supporting
and I am a
us,
single mother.
Supporting us supports the next generation.
That's right.
Do you believe in the future? Right now, take out your wallet. Right? I want you to dig deep in your couch cushions. I want you to look into your bank account and say, yes, I will.
We have two subscriber levels. $5 a month is not a dingus. $10 a month, definitely not a dingus. If you subscribe, I thought of those names myself.
I can tell.
At 2 a.m. when Patreon was like, you have to name these levels.
Liz, like we
Liz, please. Liz. Please come up with one
begging.
Idea. And I was like, what about this?
You're a writer. Like, please write.
Good God. No, Patreon has been wonderful. But those are the two levels. Those levels come with a lot of chat rooms, Discord access, access to extra writing features. You're also supporting me. This is how I make a living. I don't earn money from books.
Right.
My editor somewhere is like, come on. No, I do, but I can't live off of it. You know,
which I was always surprised by. I would figure that someone who's like published 3 or 4 books, they would be, that's how you make a living, right?
I got my royalty check this month because it's still September. So do you guess what my royalty check was? I published 3 books.
Okay.
And I get royalties on 2 books. So I haven't earned out my advance from the most recent book.
Okay.
It's sold so well. I haven't earned out the advance yet. So I'm not getting royalties on it. So guess what my royalty check was for. And also keep in mind, my first book, Godland, sells really, really well. Belabored is still selling. I mean, I think you're lucky if you're an author and your books are like still selling after a couple years. But guess.
What's a large Domino's go for these days?
I don't know.
What
I don't know what
is this for, like 1 month of sales?
No, this is for the whole year.
Whole year sales. I'm gonna $50.
75.
God damn. I was trying to lowball you.
Yeah, 75.
Holy shit.
75.
Is that real?
Yes. Yes. And again, like, I want to stress, the people teach my first book, Godland, came out in 2019. Shout out to professors.
Shout out to professors. Shout out to the leftist Antifa that's running indoctrination camps in our universities. Like, shout out. We love you.
I wish professors were like masked terrorist
lefty
agents.
Maxed
like, you know, like that would be so cool. Instead of, I'm gonna say it, what you are, just a bunch of nerds. This was our first podcast.
I think it went well. 5 stars.
Yes.
5 stars. And five speaking stars. Of 5 stars, where however you listen to this, figure one of the best ways to grow our audience for this work, to make sure this gets in front of more people, share it with people you know. You're going to have the most impact on those folks. And if while you have the time, give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating on Spotify. 5 stars, comment. I mean, I'm telling you, this engagement really helps drive these algorithms to help serve this work. We want this to reach more people. We want to see this this ride into the big times.
And in this economy, we're not all building golden ballrooms. So if you cannot subscribe, I totally understand. I can't afford to subscribe to everything I want to. I support a lot of writers myself, but it always helps to share, to like stuff, to comments, and because we're all like, we're all at the mercy of the algorithm. The algorithm is my mean boss these days, and it wants to put me on a personal improvement plan, so please help.
While you're at it, send us a voicemail. We'd love for you to ask Liz a question. This is something that we would really love to see happen. Take out your phone, open up the voice memo app, and speak.
Tell us. Who is the dingus of your week, of your life, or who you think the dingus should be? And we will play your dinguses on future podcasts. If it is Jeff from HR, use an anonymous name. If it's your ex-husband,
we'll know who he is.
Call him Kevin. All ex-husbands are named Kevin. Oh, I think that's it for us.
That was a good time. A good time was had for all.
Yes, thank you.
And now let's see our dingus of the week.